We have certainly had no shortage of drama leading up to the 2020 presidential election. Polls may tell us who may be in the lead, but there are still signs of trouble ahead. How will the election be decided? Well, that's the question we're chewing on today on The Long View with our political analyst, Neil Milner. Good morning, Neil.
Hi, Catherine.
Now, that's the big question. So what's the answer?
Well, it's odd that that's a big question. I mean, usually we say who's going to win, and we find out on election night or soon after that. For under normal circumstances, a variety of reasons. You get fairly good information on the basis of, you know, the statistical technology about who won this state and who won that state. But the main thing is that usually someone fairly early on, one of the candidates, concedes. Now, concession is totally unofficial. There's no requirement that a candidate has to concede at any time. And, in fact, we don't really officially elect a president until, well, let's say mid-December when the Electoral College gets counted. This time, there's a really good chance that the answer to who's going to be the next candidate, the answer will be the next president, the answer will be on election night. Who knows? And there is a pretty good chance that we won't know for a while. So the first, that's really the first part. It's so much so that a number of people have suggested to the networks that you don't even declare a winner on election night, that that's what you usually want to do to say who wins. But this time you should be very careful, and you should probably gear your coverage to saying why there isn't going to be somebody that's winning that night. And you spend a good portion of election night explaining that to people. So that's the tip of the iceberg.
Well, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, Hansel and Gretel, you know, there's this trail of breadcrumbs, and I'm afraid it leads to, like, you know, getting in the witch's oven.
Yeah, breadcrumbs may be a little bit too sweet. It may not be the term that I would use for the trail. But look, let's look at why this is the case. There's a number of reasons, some that are very Donald Trump-oriented and some are less so. Let's just start with the Donald Trump one. I mean, he said that the only way he can lose an election is if the election is rigged. So one possibility, so if he follows up on that and he does lose the electoral vote, let's say, which would be definitive, and he follows up on that, there you can see that the trouble would already be started, and it would be started on the basis of saying it's a rigged election, there's lots of voter fraud that has taken place, and in fact, there's a whole lot of litigation already going on about voting procedures, and we'll get back to that. But the other part of this is that, of course, because of the pandemic, you have many, many more people, possibly over half of people in the United States, voting by mail. So you have two issues here. And let's start by saying voting by mail, whatever the president says and whatever other Republicans have said, there is no evidence that this is subject to voter fraud. Now, but there are some complicating issues with mail-in ballots that are going to show up, get manifested on election night. One, because there's so many, it takes time to count them. And two, and this is very important to understand, there is a very big political difference in terms of who is likely to vote by mail and who is likely to vote by in person. Republicans are much more likely to vote in person, and Democrats are much more likely to vote by mail. So what you can have is what gets described as a red surge. A red surge would be the Republicans would be, that Trump would be way out in the lead early on, and then later on when they count the ballots, because a lot of states don't count the mail-in ballots until election night, you would then have a Democratic surge. But you could see President Trump being tempted to make declare a victory on the basis of those early returns. That there would be pressure in that kind of direction. And there's some research now on the huge difference that this can make. In nine very competitive states where they don't count mail-in ballots until last, the difference between just counting the Republican vote just counting the votes for or in person and then counting the vote for mail is huge, like a 14 to 60% change. So you have that possibility of trouble, especially if it's manifested in a certain way. And then to summarize what's going to be a lot of this, is then you're going to have the potential for a whole lot of litigation. Litigation, there are hundreds of cases already about who can vote, who can't vote. They're going to, certainly a lot of them are going to be carried forward. There's probably, rough estimate, 600 lawyers working on these things. About, let's say, we know about 300 for Republicans and probably about that many for the Democrats. So you have all of this kind of thing moving forward. It makes the last real legal contestant, presidential election, Bush versus Gore, sound a lot simple, a lot simpler, the good old days, because that went to court, there was a lot of ferment, and ultimately it got kind of settled by the court, maybe not the right way, but it got settled, and Gore conceded at that time. There wasn't anything else that was done. Everything is much more open now. So, and here is one other possibility. It sounds like I'm reading, I don't know, a series of death certificates. But there's one other possibility that we have to keep in mind, and that is, remember, the Electoral College chooses the president. The Electoral College, in the way the wording is in the Constitution, the Electoral College, the state legislatures decide how to choose electors, basically. Now, over the years, it's moved from them picking them to having elections. But there seems to be some movement on the part of Republicans to convince Republican governors in states that the Democrats might carry and Republican legislators in those states where they have a Republican majority to essentially appoint their own electors. In other words, if Trump won, I don't know, let's say North Carolina, where essentially the legislature would just say, too bad, we're going to appoint our own electors. And that seems to be somewhat possible and also quite feasibly legal. Okay, then you got all of that. If none of that picks a presidency, then it goes in. If there are conflicts over the Electoral College, then they get involved in Congress, in the House, and in the Senate. Never mind all those details, but ultimately, if you can't pick a president, you know, if the Electoral College doesn't pick a president, then you have what's called a contingent election, which means that the House of Representatives essentially picks a president. Now, all of these things, all of these what-ifs are very different because, I mean, who knows if they're going to happen, but the fact that we're considering them now, the fact that there was a group of people, a very prestigious group of people, who spent a whole lot of time gaming all these scenarios so that people could be ready for them, suggests the kind of ferment that's here.
I know. I mean, I laughed, you know, when you said good old days, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, candidate, you know, concede gracefully, you know, show some class, and, you know,
yeah,
I don't know, that's
sure.
That's may not happen.
Well, and let me end with wait, here's more, never mind about the foreign interference in the election. The other thing to remember is that the last time we had a real contest and it ended up in the courts was Bush versus Gore. Al Gore had told his people from the beginning of that litigation, we're keeping this a legal issue, not a political issue. I don't want people out on the streets demonstrating. And the Republicans did demonstrate. This time the Democrats for sure will not follow this. This will become, if it gets into the courts, will become a profoundly political issue with lots of protest, lots of ferment, and you've got lots of people who, you know, there's a strong minority of people who are willing to violate democratic norms to get the candidate they want, or to put it another way, to accept Trump's notion that the election was rigged. So that's where we stand. The election all the way through this process is just another reflection of the polarization of society.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that everybody is safe this election day and post-election and can get out there and vote.
I think that at least do your part and hope that this thing gets settled in some way that doesn't threaten our democracy, and whoever thinks about that in most elections.
I know, huh? Yeah. On a whole, the good old days. Thank you so much, Neil.
You're welcome. Take care.
All righty. Neil Milner is a retired professor of political science and a contributing editor of our segment, The Long View.